The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kitzer Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Rafael Schneider.
We're about to begin Simen Kuf Yud Gimel 113. Dine Erev Pesach V'Afiyei Samatzes, the laws of the day preceding Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, and the laws concerning baking matzes. Says the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, Aleph, Ein Oimrim Mizmer L'Soida V'Loi L'Matzeach. On the day before Pesach, we do not say the tefillah, the prayer, Mizmar L'Soida, which is usually said on a daily basis after the tefillah of Hoidu in the Pesukei Dezimra, the beginning of the tefillahs before the brachos around the Krishna. The reason we don't say the tefillah of Mizmor L'Soida is because it deals with the carbon taida. The carbon taida was a carbon that a person brought for different reasons of showing thankfulness to the Rabbeinu Shalom and showing thankfulness to Hashem. And the breads of the taida were chametz. And a person could not bring the taida on Erev Pesach, on the day before Pesach, because if he did, then there would be a problem that the breads would be left over, or could be left over. Even if he brought them in the morning, they might be left over till a time that one is not allowed to have chametz. And since one is not allowed to consume the breads anymore, there would be an iser called nicer. Nicer means to leave over a carbon past its time. Since they would not be allowed to consume the breads of the carbon, then the breads would not be used up, eaten up and used up, in their proper time. So therefore the halacha was, no carbon taida was allowed to be brought on the 14th of Nisan. Therefore we don't say the tefillah of Mizmor L'Soida on the 14th of Nisan. And we don't say Lam Natzeach, because Lam Natzeach is a prayer of tchina, of supplication to the Rabbeinu Shalom, to Hashem. And we recognize that we are under other people's control, other people's rule. It's a very difficult prayer on some level. And on Erev Pesach, it's a happy day. It's a yom of simcha, because we bring the Karban Pesach, and therefore this tefillah of Lamatzeach, which is very heavy, we don't say it on that day, on the day of simcha. Says the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, Sif Beis, Mutter lechol chometz rak ad shlish hayayim. A person is permitted to eat chometz only till a third of the day. In parentheses, v'hayayim nechshav, what the day is considered day, what's considered a third of the day? The day is considered min alayis ha-shachar, from dawn ad tzeisa kechavim, until the stars come out. Now this calculation of day is subject to a machlekes, subject to a disagreement. This is the opinion of the Magen Avraham, who's found inside of the Shulchan Aruch, who says you consider, if you break up the day into 12 equal parts, so the first third of the day is the first 4 hours, or the first four hours. At the end of the first 4 hours, that is when a person is no longer allowed to eat chametz. Now, however, according to the Vilna Gaon and others, the day starts from Netachama, from the time of sunrise, Ad Shkia, until the time of sunset. And therefore, according to this calculation, the end of the fourth hour of the day would be a little bit later. So in general, it's preferable. I mean, the Kitzur certainly says one should calculate the Vavak and Avram. In certain situations, especially since this time of the fourth hour is a time midrabanan, there are times that a person could be lenient. If it comes up, a person could ask, is there room to perhaps be lenient, like the opinion of the Gra and others, and calculate the day from sunrise to sunset. Continues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Uvahana mutter oid sha'achas. One more hour, a person is permitted to get pleasure from his chametz. So that's the end of the fifth hour. Umutter lemachroi oz legoy. And during that period, a person is then permitted to sell it to a Gentile, to a non-Jew. Aval acher kach, by the end of the fifth hour, going into the beginning of the sixth hour, oser gam bahano. Then already the Rabbanan said a person is not permitted to get pleasure from his chametz. V'tzarech lisreif as a chametz ulevatlei. A person is obligated to burn his chametz and to nullify his chametz with the bittul, which we mentioned earlier. Kol zman shul mutar bahano. As long as the chametz is still permitted to get pleasure from. So a person should do the sreifas chametz, the burning of chametz, before the end of the fifth hour, and also the bittul, which follows the sreifas chametz. A person also is required to do the bittul within the fifth hour. Why? Once the sixth hour arises, and the Rabbanan already took the chametz out of your possession, your bittul doesn't count anymore. It's not considered your chametz anymore. It's prohibited to get pleasure from that chametz. And therefore, a person's bittul would no longer count. So a person has to be careful to make sure to do everything before the end of the fifth hour. Gimel. From midday and onward, it is prohibited to do work. The Rama writes that even if this work is not to profit, only he's doing what we call molacha gemura, a complete and accomplishing type of malacha, for example, to create a piece of clothing. That is considered malacha gemura and prohibited after chatzais. But to fix a beged, to fix a piece of clothing for your yontif needs, and also to do it for your friend, if you're doing it for free, is permitted even after chatzais. Even if it requires an expert craftsman to do this fixing, to do this mending, still you'd be allowed to do it for the needs of Yontif. Included in this Isser, this prohibition of Malacha after Chatzais, is washing clothes as well. So even though today our washing is not the same kind of washing they did in the olden days, does not require the same effort as before, still, in general, the Isser still applies. A person should make sure to do all their washing before Chatzais. Rabbi Yashiv says that if a person were to set the washing machine before Chatzais, and it would continue after Chatzais, then that would be permissible. Because all the person's involvement was already over before Chatzais. Continues the Kitzur. Ve'enai mutter lasleis raksha mutter lasleis v'chol ha'moed. A person is not allowed to do any more work than he would be permitted to do during the Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days of Yom Tov, of Pesach and Sukkot. Va'al Yedei Goy, and through a Gentile, Noyagim Lahatir. Then we would permit, even things that we would not normally permit you to do after Chatzos, Malachos that are not normally allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed, that's only by the Jew himself. But for other, through a Gentile, through a non-Jew, one is permitted to do these malachos even after Chatzos. The Mishnah Berurah writes that even if the non-Jew would work in the Yid's house, in the Jew's house, it's still permitted. Also, a person is allowed to do himself, to do malacha, if it would otherwise be a davar ovid. He would take a loss. Just like on Chol HaMoed, he's allowed to do work if he would take a considerable loss. So too, on Erev Pesach, he's allowed to work if otherwise he would incur a considerable loss. Or the work is not considered a craftsman's work. It's considered a ma'aseh hedyot, something that anybody could do. So then he's allowed to do it just like he's allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. There's no difference. Continues the Kitzer, V'yesh mekaymes shenoygen lasser kol yoyimu melacha. But says the Kitzer Shacharach, you should know there are some places that the whole day is prohibited to do melacha. Not just after Chatzais, but the entire day one is prohibited from doing work. Now that's, even those who hold you not allowed to do work the whole day, that's only the daytime. Even though the Torah day starts at night, this halacha of not doing malacha would only be true, even in the places that have this custom, would only be true during the daytime hours. And it would only be true of significant and accomplishing malachas, like we mentioned before. Now, it's very hard to find places with such a custom. The Pri Chodesh, a famous Gadol who lived a couple hundred years ago, wrote that the minig in Yerushalayim is not to do work the whole day. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that he himself did not know of this minig in Yerushalayim. And even if the Pri Chodesh is correct, that's only in the area around the Beis HaMikdash. At the time, right, the area of the city that was considered Yerushalayim during the Zman HaMikdash, but not the rest of Yerushalayim, modern-day Yerushalayim, would not be considered, even if the Pri Chodesh is correct, to have that minig not to do work. So in general, our custom is not to do work after Chatzais. It's hard to find a place where the custom is not to do the work even before Chatzais. Dalit. Lihistaper, to take a haircut, v'chein liktzeis hatziparnayim, and to cut one's fingernails, tzrichim kaidim chatzais, one has to do it before chatzais, before midday. V'im shachach, if a person forgot, yochol liktzeis tziparnav gam lacha chatzais, if he forgot, he's allowed to cut his fingernails even after chatzais. Avol lihistaper aser, but to take a haircut, that would be prohibited after Chatzais. Ki im ayidei gai. But only through a non-Jew. Through a non-Jew, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, one would be permitted to do it. The Ramah in Yerideya writes that a person would be allowed to take a haircut. And the Shach explains him over there as well. But others are strict. Others like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav are strict and say if one person did not take a haircut, he may not take a haircut after Chatzais. And therefore in a situation where one is in doubt, one should ask a competent Rav. The place can bring down those who discuss and answer issues of Jewish law, say that a person is allowed to shine and buff his shoes even after Chatzais. Not a problem. continues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Ais hey, if hey, aser lechol matzah kol hayayim. One is prohibited from eating any matzah the entire day. Many have the custom that they don't eat already from Rosh Chodesh, some even earlier than that, Rosh Chodesh being the beginning of the new month. Others even have the custom not to eat matzah even 30 days before Pesach. But the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says the halacha is not to eat chametz any time on the 14th day of Nisan. Vafilu aktanim aktanis, even young boys and girls. Kol shemi vin and inyan itzias mitzrayim, osur laseis lehemata. All those who understand the idea of the exodus from Egypt are prohibited. It's prohibited to give them matzah to eat on Erev Pesach. Since there's a mitzvah to tell over, there's a commandment to tell over your children about the Exodus, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, when there's matzah and maror sitting in front of us, and if the child already filled his stomach with matzah, it's not such a big deal for him to now see the matzah in front of him again. It won't take on the same significance. Therefore, the halacha is that even the young children should not have regular matzah on Erev Pesach, as long as they understand the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. Aval tafshilin, but cooked foods, she'oisin mi'matzah tchunais, that we make from crushed matzah, mutter, that's permitted. Kol adam lechol ad chila sha'asiris, every person is allowed to eat those matzah, those foods from crushed matzah, all the way until the beginning of the 10th hour. That means until the last 3 hours of the day, the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th, one is permitted to eat cooked foods made from crushed matzah. The hainu, that is, ad harvias achreina shal yayim, until the last quarter of the day. Therefore, a person could have knedlach, matzah balls, and I still remember eating matzah balls on Erev Pesach. It's a very fond memory. However, something we call matzah brei, which is matzah that a person would fry in a frying pan, there's a question whether that's considered like a regular matzah or more like cooked matzah. And there are those that say it's permitted, and those that say it is not. And therefore, it's not a clear, a person should ask a question if you could have matzah brei, this fried matzah, on Erev Pesach. Umisham ve'elech, continues the Kitzur, from that period of time, the last quarter of the day, osur lechol ki le'eis hatzayrich, mat peiros oy besar v'dogim, basar v'dogim. From then and on, it's prohibited to eat the last quarter of the day, only if it's necessary. And what can he eat? A little bit of fruit, or meat, or fish. Most other Paiskim do not mention this idea of refraining from food, unless it's necessary. This is something that's unique to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that he says it's best to refrain from food in general the last quarter of the day. Continues the Kitzur, V'yizara, a person should be careful, Shalo yamala kreisai, a person should fill his stomach, Kedei sheyoichol b'layla matzah l'teilvein, in order that he should eat matzah at night with a desire. He should have a wanting to consume the matzah at night. And therefore he has to be careful that he's not overfilling himself. In Shulchan Aruch it says that a person should not have a little bit of wine, because a little bit of wine makes a person feel somewhat full. The Mishnah Berurah says that if it's less than a majority of a cup, that's not even considered a little bit of wine. that's not even significant at all. But more than that, more than the majority of a cup, that is could be a problem. That could be considered a little bit of wine, and a person should refrain from that. Now, a lot of wine, that actually draws on somebody, a person, it creates an appetite. A person has more of a desire to eat after he's consumed a lot of wine. That's like two cups or more. But the Bir Halacha, the Chavetz Chaim in his Sefer Bir Halacha writes that a person has to know himself. He has to know what within him creates more of an excitement within him to eat more, and what he creates a sense of satisfaction that he doesn't need to eat at all. And he should be weary of himself and not, he should be aware, and he shouldn't do something that will make it harder for him to partake in the mitzvahs of the night. Continues the Kitzer, Sivvav, HaBechayrim, the firstborn, Bein Bechar L'Av, whether he's a firstborn just to the father, the mother already has other children, Bein Bechar L'Aim, where he's only a firstborn by the mother, but the father has other children. Mis'anim, either way, just the Bechar from the father, or just the Bechar from the mother, Mis'anim Erev Pesach, Afilu Chol Erev Shabbos. They fast on Erev Pesach, even if the Tainus falls, even if the fast falls on Erev Shabbos. Why do we fast? Why is there a custom for the firstborn to fast? As a memory to the miracle that occurred in Mitzrayim, that on the night of Pesach, all the Mitzrayim firstborn, the firstborn from the mothers, or the firstborn from just the fathers, they all died, while the firstborn from the Jewish mothers and Jewish fathers, none of them died. And even it's brought down in Mishneh Berurah that even the Bechayrim of the Kehanim and Levim, even though there's no Pidyon HaBen, there's no redemption of the first son from a child that's born from Kehanim and Levim, and even if it would be a situation where it's only a firstborn from the mother, not from the father, still, there's no Bechayra here at all when it comes to inheritance. There's no Bechayra here at all when it comes to Pidyon HaBen. Still, a firstborn from a mother who happens to come from a family of Kehanim or Levim would still require to be to partake in this Tainus Bechayras, the fast of the firstborn. The Mishneh Berurah brings down that if someone has headaches, has pains behind, in their head, behind their eyes, or they feel that if they fast, they won't be able to eat the matzah or the maror or drink the four cups properly, then it's best not to fast. Or just to eat certain kinds of snacks, small snacks, dessert materials, things that are not normal food that satisfies. There is an opinion of the Sefer called Eila Shmuel who says that a person should fast, but only until Chatzais, only until midday, since from Chatzais and onward is the time of the Bring Karm Pesach. So therefore, if a person is unable to fast, there is this opinion of the Eila Shmuel who says that the fast can be accomplished even just keeping it until Chatzais, until midday. Continues the Kitzer. Begam habo achan afolim tzarech lesanes. Even if somebody, if a firstborn is the firstborn healthy child, comes after a firstborn miscarriage, the first child was a miscarriage and the second child is a healthy firstborn, then the second child, the first healthy child, the first full child, is required to fast. Because, in truth, he's the Bechar when it comes to inheritance. And whether you're a Bechar when it comes to matters of Pidyon HaBen, the firstborn from the mother, or you're a Bechar when it comes to inheritance, getting a double portion from the father, either way, such a person is required to fast. The Dagal Mervava, who is the great Neidim Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Landau writes that if this child who did not make it, this child who died at a very young age, was a 9-month baby, and he lived after he was born, he just didn't live a full 30 days, so then the Dagom of Rava writes, that person, we're not sure if it's considered a nafel or not, maybe really that child should have lived, but something happened, and therefore the child that's born after does not have to fast. So in that particular instance, when it's a full 9-term baby that preceded this Bukhar, and that baby lived, just didn't live till 30 days, and the second one would not require to partake in Tainis Bukhairis. Continues the Kitzur, V'chol Zman Shebukhar Katan, as long as the child is a Katan, still a minor, Ha'ov Mis'ana Tachto, the father fasts in his stead. If the father is also Bukhar, some say that the mother should fast for this Bukhar. Others say no, that the minig is that the father's fast works for him and it works for his firstborn child, and that seems to be the custom. If, unfortunately, there is no father, there's just a mother, so then, if it's hard for the mother, she should not fast Tainis Bechayis. She should not fast. It is not such a strict fast, as we'll talk about soon. Continues the Keter, Besudas Mitzvah, if there's a meal that was made to honor a mitzvah, example, a meal after a pidyon of ben, redemption of the firstborn, a meal after a bris milah, after a circumcision, im mutarim lachal, if a person who is a bechor, who should be fasting, is allowed to eat from that meal, Talia, it depends on minhag kindness, the custom of that particular place. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that, of course, it's permissible to eat, and that seems to be the custom. The custom is more than that. As many of us know, that a person makes a siyum, he completes a mesechta, and he makes a small suda, and people join. Even people who don't know him join in this suda. And it seems we're very lenient when it comes to Tainas Bechayas, that we allow almost anybody to partake in a Suda's Mitzvah, a Suda's Siyam, even if they are not very intimate with the person making the Siyam. Why are we so lenient? So says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, since the whole idea of this fast is only found in the Sechah Seifrim, not the regular part of the six Siddurim, the six parts of Mishnayis, rather it's found in a separate area called Masechah Seifrim, which contains many brises, which are never really got into Mishnayis. Therefore, Klal Yisrael, the Jews, are accustomed to be very lenient, and they find that there are many ways to circumvent this tainus. Rosh Shlomo Zalman said that a person who can't get to a siyum for some reason could rely on listening to a siyum over the telephone. It's best if a person eats by the suda siyum, by this meal. But if a person is unable to, he could just rely on being there, listening to the siyum. And this is according to the Liashiv and Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach. Continues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Siv Zayin. B'chor ha-mis'ane, o'ivner t'filas mincha anenu. A b'chor who's fasting, again, in general, our custom is not to fast. Many people go to a suda siyum, a suda over the completion that was created for the completion as an honor, the completion of a mesechta or some other part of Torah. If a person is in fact fasting, he should say anenu, which is a special tefillah, a special request at this auspicious moment of a tainus, when a person is shedding, is not being involved in this world too much, and he comes to Hashem and he has a special tefillah that to Hashem that he should answer him. that should be said by the participant in this tainus, in this fast. The normal custom is that when the person says it, he says it in the bracha of Shemea Tfila, which is closer to the end of the Shemoneh Esrei. V'imhem kama b'chayrim u'mispalim b'tzivur, if there are a number of b'chayrim that are davening together as a quorum, lo yere b'char l'fnei ha'teva, a b'char should not be the one to daven for the amet to be the shaliach tzivur, to lead the congregation. Ki ein loim ra'aneinu b'chazaras ha'tfila b'koyl kevon shu chodesh nisan. A person should not say aneinu in the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei out loud, since in fact it's a very happy time, a time that we usually don't have fasts. It's the month of Nisan. The Mishnah Berurah says that if a Bechor did, he wasn't supposed to, but he did daven for the Amid, he was the one who led the congregation, so he's supposed to say Aneinu, he should say it during Shemoneh Tfila. And normally we say Aneinu when the Shliach Tzibur, the one who leads the quorum, says Aneinu. He usually says it as a bracha by itself, between, in the earlier part of Shemoneh Esrei, between the bracha of Re'ena and Refa'enu. But here he should say it in the bracha of Shemea Tefila. Continues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Ches. Hamahadrin oifen amatzah shel mitzvah be'erev Pesach acha chatzayis hayayim. Those who go after mitzvahs, those who long for mitzvahs, they should bake their matzahs of mitzvah on Erev Pesach after midday. Shehu zman akrovas karim Pesach. It's the time that the mitzvah of bringing karim Pesach begins. Why is there such a custom? The Minchas Elazar writes, one of the great Hasidic rabbis who lived before the Second World War, he says that a person does this because he wants to bake matzah right near Pesach. Because the closer he gets to Pesach, the more kavana, the more of the proper intentions he has, the proper thoughts he has towards the Yontif, as he goes closer to the Yontif, therefore, there's something more special about such matzahs. V'kevan sh'azul achar zman iser chametz, since it's already the time that one is prohibited to have chametz, to eat chametz, toiv shivatol b'feirish es ha'peirurim. It's best that a person openly and explicitly should make null and void any crumbs that fall that will perhaps be turned into chametz. And he should say it in a language, in a wording that he understands what he's saying. It's not just you say a tefillah of some sort. You have to really have in mind that you're making these crumbs as if they're nothing to you. Any crumbs that will fall between the time of kneading the dough and arranging the matzah. And so to any dough that will stick to the vessels. All these things, the perurim, the crumbs, and any dough that gets stuck to the kli, to the vessels, I'm making them null and void. I'm making them hefker, ownerless. How could a person do such a thing, though? See, if it's already chametz, it's not his anymore. And if he does the bittul from now, there are no pirurim yet. The pirurim will only be created after he starts to make his matzah. And he might already miss his opportunity for doing the bittul, because if he waits any period of time, it could be that these pirurim, these pieces of matzah, already turned into chametz. So I saw a suggestion who says that a person says the bittul now, and he says whenever the perurim fall, that's when he wants the hefker, that's when he wants the bittul to come. In other words, he's saying the bittul now, but he says, I want it only to happen as the pieces fall. Then the bittul right away will get them before they turn into chametz. continues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch ice test. Ma'amayim shereichtem hazakelim. The water that we wash out the vessels, tzrichim l'shavcha b'makam midrein. You have to spill it out into a place that's on a slant. V'shelo yeiritz v'savonim. It shouldn't be a floor made of stones. K'dei shiyibolu mehera b'karka. In order that it should quickly absorbed into the ground. Shim yishvachem shalevim m'makayim midrein. If he spills in a place that's not on a slant, that the water doesn't flow down from there. Oh, yeah, feel makayim midrein, or even if it's in a place that is on a slant. But the floor is made of stone and things don't get absorbed well over there. Yesh locha shem yiskabtsu b'mkayim echad v'yachmitsu koydem shibolu v'karka. We're concerned that maybe the pieces of chametz will gather together and then they will turn into chametz, they will become leaven koydem shibolu v'karka before they actually get absorbed into the ground. And he'll find that he'll have chametz in his possession. So a person should also make sure to do this quickly. He shouldn't wait. He shouldn't let the chametz sit in the pot and then pour it out later, because by that time, the chametz may already have turned the dough, or the little pieces may have already turned into chametz. So a person has to be careful to take care of it quickly. There is a machlekes, a disagreement between the Elyon Rabbah and the Magen Avraham. If a person can spill it into the Rishus HaRabim, into the public thoroughfare, and not be concerned at all. The Elyon Rabbah says you can just throw it to the Rishus HaRabim, even if it's a place that doesn't absorb it well. It's not yours anymore, you've gotten rid of it. While the Magen Avraham says, since you're already baking the matzahs after the time of the Isser came, you're baking it on Yontif, at Erev Yontif, right before Yontif. So since the time of Chametz already came, that Chametz is prohibited, so just spilling it into the Rishus HaRabim is not enough. You actually have to get rid of the Chametz in a more serious way. You have to make sure that all the pieces go all over and they get absorbed into the ground. Otherwise, you're going to run yourself into trouble. So in that case, a person, if he has to spill into the Rishus HaRabim, it's best if he finds a place that will be absorbent. And if not, he has a question of just tossing into the Rishus HaRabim is enough, since already the time of prohibition of chametz already came. And that's the end of Kuf Yud Gimel 113, the laws of Erev Pesach and baking matzahs.